Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This is a podcast from our summer leadership training school. Hope you enjoy.
Okay, how many of you, this has been the shortest season ever? It's been like so quick these 8 days. It's like a flash. But how many of you also feels like so long? Feels like years. Like kind of like you don't even remember where you're from. You just, all you know is you never got up for breakfast. How many of you got up for breakfast one time this week? How many of you did not get up for breakfast? Okay, amazing, amazing. You know, I always aspire to get up. I always make a plan to get up, but it doesn't always work out. Anyone else like that? Okay, last couple things. This is so fun. I'm so happy to get to see everyone's faces. How many of you did get to have some delicious barbecue and you're going home? Oh, good, good. Okay, so everyone got their fill of barbecue. Okay, so everyone had some good meat. Did any of the vegans have barbecue? No, all right, all right. All right, barbecue sauce, does that count? Is that vegan? Polynesian sauce, all right, all right. Amazing. Well, okay, so I wanna get into something super practical tonight. And I have pastoral concern. Everyone say pastoral concern. Here's my pastoral concern, is I hated that some of you felt fear of going back home. No one's in trouble. I just hate that feeling in my own life. I do not like the feeling of fear and dread. I hate those emotions. Anyone else hate those emotions? And so tonight I wanted to dispel all of that fear, but I didn't want to just like hype it out of you. You know, you can kind of hype fear out temporarily. You're going to be great. God loves you. You're going to be great. God loves you. You're going to be great. You're going to be great. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. But then you're stoked, but then you get on the plane and you're going home and that feeling begins to emerge and the hype speech is gone. You don't have time to get another podcast in from the Circuit Rider website before you see all your families and friends. And you're stuck in this fear of going, am I secure in the transformation I've just experienced moving forward in my life? And so tonight I want to talk about being sealed with love. Look at your neighbor and say, are you sealed? See, I want you to think of this analogy for a moment. If you were dating, if you're in a dating relationship, or let's just imagine you are in a dating relationship, and all day you're walking around afraid that you're going to cheat on the person you're dating. Wow. Is that a healthy fear? Is that healthy for your life in any way, shape, or form? Now, as radical as that sounds, that's how some people are with God.
Yeah, so true.
They experience this powerful transformation, but they live in this constant nagging fear that they're about to lose it and go back to where they used to be in life. And so God, in his love, does not want you to be walking around all day, just like he wouldn't want you walking around in your marriage wondering, when am I going to ruin this? Right? Some people literally live that way. They literally live, I'm just waiting for the hammer to drop. Right? How many of you, things have gone too good for too long and you're like, something's off and something bad is about to happen to me? Almost you're uncomfortable if things are going too good for too long. How many of you had this experience before besides me? Well, in the same way, Jesus, though, these attitudes are not from Christ. These attitudes have nothing to do with his kingdom. These thought processes are not in Jesus. Yes, you'll experience troubles in life, but they're not supposed to be crushing like maybe they have been before in your life. And you're not supposed to be walking away wondering when you're going to ruin it and mess it all up with God. That's a completely strange, distorted way of living, and God wants to remove that. Now, how can he remove that in your life? You need to understand love. See, the reason you're walking around in fear is there's competitive loves in your life. The reason you're afraid of going back is there's another love in your life. and it's competing for your attention. And the answer to the question of having competing loves is having a sealed love in Jesus, a wholehearted love in Jesus. See, okay, I'm married to my wife, Emily. We've been married for 3 years now. So crazy. It's so wild. And we've known each other for over 10 years. We were friends for a long time. We were coworkers for a long time. We led tour teams for Carry to Love. It was amazing. Now, when I walk around with Emily, I do not walk around in fear that I'm going to ruin our marriage. I walk around that when there is strange temptations in my life, once in a while you meet a weird woman, once in a while you even meet a weird dude in this life, you know, just like strange kind of characters, I never have weird moments of like, oh my gosh, I actually just am disturbed and feel bad for the person. Right. I mean, there's that door is so locked because I'm so sealed in my love for Emily.
Yeah, that's good.
That even if you're like, tonight, Nick, you're going to ruin your marriage, I would laugh at you and say, dude, you need counseling. Yeah. Now, I'm not above making a mistake for sure. There's a place for humility, but there's also a place for confidence. Right? Pride and confidence are two separate things. Confidence knows that it's possible, but confidence trusts that my love is sealed. It trusts that we're in this together. We banned early in our marriage. It was actually during the engagement period. There's a lot of divorce in her family. And I said, we're going to take authority over the spirit of divorce in your family. And I will not tolerate the fear of divorce in our household, nor will we ever say the word out loud. And we have never said it out loud, besides in spiritual warfare prayer. And we prayed in agreement in that day, and we pushed it out of our house. We sealed that love. And then I stood before her in front of all my friends, and I gave her my vows, and she gave me my vows. And check this out. When we gave those vows, the Holy Spirit sees that and then fills you with a grace to fulfill that vow. Right? It's not like Jesus going, hey, just do it on your own now. Just love. No, I need the Lord to love my wife well. Right? I need Jesus to be all that I'm supposed to be for Emily. But in that commitment, because marriage is God's idea. Did you know that? This is not an American idea. This is not a modern idea. Marriage is God's idea.
Yeah, that's good.
Covenant is God's idea.
Yeah, that's good.
God covenanted with us far before we were marrying each other.
Yes.
And so when there's covenant, there's a grace to fulfill it. And so I want to give all of you confidence tonight that the covenant you have with Jesus in salvation, that I love you and him saying, I love you, that you can live in the security of that without a fear of the world, without a fear of going back to your old temptations, without a paranoia of who's going to call me, who's going to tempt me, what's going to happen, where is going to happen, when's the hammer going to drop. You get rid of that paranoia, but yet to live with full confidence of being in the world, but not of it.
Yeah.
How many of you would be interested in that tonight? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. You can open. We're going to look at a couple scriptures tonight. We want to look at the nature of love for a moment. 1 Corinthians 13:1-13 said, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing.
Wow.
If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Okay, this is amazing. Can we keep going? Verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown tongues and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy only reveals part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever. Say this with me. Three things. Will last forever. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Wow.
Right? The primary thing that God is interested in your life is that you would learn how to love like Him. That you would learn to love Him and to love others. And this is so crazy because this love that they're talking about is a picture of what Christ's love for looks like all of us. So I want to reread verses 4 through 10. Jesus' love is patient and kind towards you. It is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It woos you. It is not irritable. God's not frustrated with you. He's not annoyed like your boring, mean school teacher you had, or your parent who punishes you for every wrong thing you ever did. He's patient with you, and He keeps no record of how you wrong Him.
Wow.
This is love. How crazy is this? His love never gives up on you. His love never loses faith in you. Are you kidding me? His love is always hopeful about who you'll become and the future you will choose.
Wow.
He endures with you through every circumstance. This is Christ's love. See, if you don't understand that your confidence actually in the Christian life is not in yourself, but your confidence in Christ comes that you know how much Christ loves you. Because you did not get saved on your own. It was He who loved us first. It was He who chose us first, right? Our salvation is a response to what He has done for us. And in the same way, He doesn't leave us as orphans after salvation. His love actually then continues into the next phase. He loves us and loves us and loves us and loves us until we become more and more and more sanctified and become more and more like Him. Meaning that He's not just loving you during the Circuit Rider experience. He's not just loving you on Sundays, and He's not just loving you in Christian spaces, and He's not just loving you at the beginning of your walk with God. His love is constant because He knows that you can't do anything outside of His love. Right, that pounds back to our humility message. We are nothing if He's not loving us. Loving Him is just a response of His love for us. The whole Christian life is a response to God. The whole Christian life is a response to God. And the reason that you can have confidence in who you are and what you're going to be doing and why your life is going to work out, because God has chosen you as a vessel of His mercy and is getting glory through loving you over and over and over and over and over again until everything He said about you comes true. This is God. This is God. See, this is where all of a sudden a mistake becomes a road bump compared to how big God is. The worst end of your life becomes a pothole compared to how powerful God's redemptive love is. Right? Think about the characters of Scripture. I'm talking about major failures. I'm not excusing failure. I'm not saying we should fail. We have to repent if we fail. We should seek not to fail. But David, the man after God's own heart, stole a man's wife, impregnated her, killed her husband, repented, but then still kept her as his wife. And he's the guy after God's own heart. Can you imagine that? Youth pastor today. 2022. Sees his neighbor's wife. Hits him with the car in accident. Gets out of the deal. Prophet comes over, says, "You did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident." Now he's married to her. Can you imagine? We're going, that guy is a man after God's own heart. That guy is a man after God's own heart. And can you imagine? Why would God not go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All the mighty man years, all the cave years, all the Saul years, all the sanctification I put you through. Are you kidding me? The provision of a wife I've already given you. The favor of all the people. Have I not provided for you at every turn? Aren't you full of loyalty? Am I not giving you victory at battle? Are you kidding me? I'm so done with you, just like I was done with Saul. But God says, repent, but I forgive you. I'm going to wash it away like snow. Let's restart and move forward. Let's restart and move forward. Isn't it amazing that this is the kind of love that Jesus Christ has for every single one of us? You cannot underplay the power and the nature of his love for you. You cannot underplay it. So much of God's love, we are so stingy with it because truthfully, we're afraid to be generous with it because we're typically stingy in love towards ourselves. Wow. And we're stingy with love towards other people. And we assume that God is like every other man that we have met here on the earth. But God is not like any other man on the earth. God is so far above all of our ways. His love is perfect. And the crazy part is he delights in mercy, meaning he delights in giving love to people who don't deserve it. Amen. Wow. So if you go to heaven and go, God, what's your favorite thing to do? He goes, I love to pick people who are undeserving of it and are my enemies, and I love to love them until not forcing them to love me, but until my love overcomes all their pain, rebellion, sin, and pride, and they go, I surrender to this love. I'm so sorry for everything I've done. And then I adopt them as my kids. And then I train them to be sanctified and to become like me. And then I teach them how to reign with me, and I make them royalty in my kingdom. This is what he enjoys. And you're afraid about your next season?
Wow. Come on.
You're afraid about your next season because you don't know his love. You know religion. Because when we get it conflated that we have more to do with the story than we really do, that's when we lose confidence. Because we start thinking at some point in the journey, I really got myself here. I was really choosing and choosing and choosing, and I just need to work harder, versus that you were nowhere, going nowhere, didn't want Jesus, yet Jesus wanted you, and that's why you're here.
Wow.
You think you got here?
Nope.
Do you remember where you're from?
Right.
How did you make that many good choices?
Wow.
No way. No way. And if it's up to you to make all those good choices to fulfill your entire original design, how good is that going to go in your future? How much pressure is that? Jesus is saying to you, if you engage with me and love me, my love will so transform you that you can't help but love other people. And then you will be walking along the pathway and look up 20 years from now and go, whoa, I became everything God said I was going to become. You got to trust his love. Can we keep going? I want to look at Song of Solomon 8, 6 through 7. This is our prayer tonight. This is what we're going to pray at the end. I want to prep your heart for this. Is basically the woman in the Song of Solomon is saying this in a poetic form to the groom she's wanting to marry. And it's a poem about love. Now there's all kinds of debate. Is this just a story about marriage? It certainly is, and you can't get it confused, and it can get weird if you over-spiritualize it. But she's also teaching us about something about love. And she's also teaching us about the mystery that we are the bride of Christ. And that there's something about that bridal paradigm that if you take it too far, can get real weird real quick. But there's something in it that if we don't understand it, we miss the kind of love that God wants to give us from us to him. Can we keep going for a moment? She says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. What she's saying is, I want to give myself fully over to you, right? A seal is a stamp of authority. Yeah. She's saying, I want your love to consume me. I want to be fully given over to you in love. I want to give away my life to you, which is essentially what you're doing when you get married. You're saying, I'm giving up my rights and I'm giving my rights to you. And the other person's saying, I'm giving up my rights and I'm giving my rights to you. And the two are becoming one. She's saying, I want to be wholly yours and I want to be sealed with your authority. I mean, I want you to finalize that covenant and make me yours permanently forever. She goes on. Then she starts giving this poem about love. For love is as strong as death. This is amazing right here. What is she? I always hear this. I'm like, what does that mean? For love is as strong as death. What she's saying here about love is the power of love is irresistible as death. Wow. All of us are going to die. And the power of death will eventually one day pull you into the grave. But she's saying the kind of love that you have for me and the kind of love I have for you has like the power of death. It's inevitable that I'm going to lead my life back to you. And it's inevitable that you're going to lead your life to me. It's like a love that is a sure thing, not a kind of a sure thing or a hopeful a sure thing or I hope this work out. She's saying the kind of love that defines this relationship as sure as you are going to die. She goes on. Jealousy is as fierce as the grave. Now, I love this. Jealousy. I thought we just said love isn't jealous. Well, there's one kind of jealousy that's okay in the scripture. And the jealousy is this, is it demands that there is no other thing before that one thing. Right? God has a jealous love towards us, meaning he has a demand on our love. There can be no love higher than him. Can't be your family. It can't be your future. Can't be your career. Can't be your friends. Can't even be your wife or your husband one day. Jesus reserves the right that his love is the highest love and that all those loves are flowing from his love. And so she's saying, my love for you, I'm demanding that you would just be my one thing. And your love for me is you're demanding that I would be your one thing. This is the kind of love that we want to capture our heart. It flashes or flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. Meaning that the kind of love that she feels is a love that cannot be put out. That even floods of water cannot be put out. It's the kind of fire that falls on the altar in the story of Elijah. There's water covering the whole altar, yet it burns everything away. The love of God burns through every natural circumstance that should quench your love in the natural because it's a love that is supernatural. You can lose your love for people in the natural. But when you get a hold of the supernatural love of God and it grips your heart for him and you experience that love that he has for you, it is impossible to ever put it out. See, this is our prayer tonight, because if we believe that we are sealed with his love, what does it say? That there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if we have fear about our future, it's because perfect love has not taken over your mind. Perfect love has not enraptured your heart. I don't know if it's a barrier of worthiness. You don't believe you're worthy of that love. Too bad. You aren't worthy of that love, yet it's coming for you. It's called mercy. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it in your heart. Don't you know that when you got saved, God had been loving on you more than just that one moment? How many moments, if you looked up and in heaven, when you get to see like the videotape of God's activity in your life, you will see that from the minute you were born, God was preparing your steps to have an encounter with him and his love. And you think that he's going to drop you off now and make you work out the future of your calling all by yourself? You think that all the impact that you want to have is all on you? Don't you know that you are just a vessel in God's grand love story? Dude, some of you were in wild backgrounds. Unbelievable sin. And Jesus walked into your neighborhood and knocked on your door every day until you finally invited him in. And then he came back every day and sat there and had coffee with you until you finally opened up. And then he came back until you were ready to put your trust in him and say, would you follow me from this house? I have a better house for you. I have a better neighborhood for you. I have a better future for you. That is God. And so you have to have this seal of his love in your heart, because you're supposed to now go walk and be an ambassador of that love. So when people look at your life, they go, what is this? Why are you have so much peace? How can you have so much security? The economy's bad and everyone hates each other and you're broke and your parents are mad at you and two religious people are criticizing you. What's wrong with you? You're like, I'm just sealed in his love. I'm just sealed in his love. See, there are some things that you do experience on life that are a shadow of a reality in heaven. And marriage is one of those things. Relationships is one of those things. When you, if you've ever been in love or felt you were in love, right? Real love, not just a feeling, but something deep. That deep connection with someone that you cannot shake. And something bad is going on in your life. Isn't it amazing how 100 bad things can happen in your life and you're just still stoked? I'm broke. Who cares? Everyone's mad at me. Who cares? Car busted. Who cares? I don't know what I'm doing with my future. Who cares? Right? There's a power of love that drowns out the noise of the world and brings everything into perspective. This is the kind of love that God wants to seal you with. But let's take a look here for a moment at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Everyone say difficulty. So should you be surprised that you will face difficulty?
No.
This is not the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
Right? That just loving him and everything goes perfect. The scripture says, hey, there's going to be a lot of difficulty. If you love me, and actually, if you love me, there will be more trouble for you. But that trouble, you'll be like standing in a secure house on a rock, safe with peace in your heart, unmoved by the winds and the storms of life. That's what he's offering. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous. Man, look at that. Unappeasable. What a prophecy. Unappeasable. Just if we could park right there and preach a whole message tonight, how there's been an unappeasable nature on our entire generation. Right? We live in a country that has more wealth for more people than any other time in history. And we're still ungrateful. We are more connected, yet we are so alone. We can get in an airplane and fly somewhere that would take weeks to travel. We all have a house. We all have an apartment. And if you can't get an apartment, you can at least get a shelter over your head through our government. There is so much to be thankful, but nothing is ever good enough. Your job is never good enough. The encounter is never good enough. The church is never good enough. The worship set's never good enough. Your friends are never good enough. Your family's never good enough. People are never good enough. Your grades are never good enough. Your intimacy with God is never good enough. Right? It's amazing how much of this is coming true. Slanderous. Look at social media. It is just a trash pile of slander. And then a few people going, we shouldn't slander. As they slander, exactly, the people slandering. They'll be without self-control. Brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Wow.
And here's the key. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power.
Wow.
Avoid such people.
What verse is
that? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. So here's the storyline. Here's what's so crazy. Everything I just listed that Paul is warning Timothy about is he's talking about other Christians that appear to be Christians. So this is not just a description of everybody out there. We know it's true of everyone out there. But he's talking about that in those last days, there are going to be Christians that will be lovers of themselves, in love with money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedience to their parents. What they're getting at there is dishonor for those who have come before them. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Religion, this is my dad speaking, Brian Brandt, religion denies the power of God's transforming power. Human nature longs to take hold of formulas or have some knowledge that allows it to function independently of God. His kingdom does not work by formula or lifeless routine. Instead, the power of Christ is released according to God's sovereignty in a response to the heart condition of his people. See, why am I bringing up religion and we're talking about love? I believe that the grand opponent to real love on the earth is religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that the grand disillusioner of God's love is religion. And see, the number one priority in your life is to establish a deep, abiding connection with God's love. And he promises you that if you seek his kingdom first, all these other things will be added to you. He's offering you a supernatural promise that if you focus and decide me over your career, decide me over your friends, decide me over your circumstances, decide me over really amazing opportunities. Because not every opportunity is from God.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how the enemy will offer you an Ishmael right before your Isaacs right down the road? I wonder how many of you are going to go and step off the plane and Ishmael will be right there. But God's saying, hey, make me your priority. Be foolish enough to love me more than anything else on this earth, and I will make you unfoolish before man's eyes as they watch the spectacle of what your life becomes. Because when you live in connection with God's love, everything begins to make sense and you do not have fear anymore. Because you're leaving your home connected versus leaving your home disconnected. See, what you're really saying I'm afraid of doing is I'm afraid of losing my connection. I felt disconnected before this week, and for 8 days you reconnected all the wires, and I don't want to go back to that disconnection. Am I right?
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to that place. That place was miserable, but that's like saying that you're afraid that you're going to get disconnected with your girlfriend. And I'm like, just keep going on dates. Just keep having conversation. Just keep things in purity. Just do things God's way, and you don't have to worry about how it's all going to work out. See, the number one thing that I want to challenge every single one of us is not just to go back and do miracles and revival and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All those things will come in his kingdom if you put him first and you love him first. If every day you make it a priority, I want to feel the electrical charge of my connection with God. And if you can find this in your room, in your closet, you're set for life, baby. That's it. That's it right there. You don't need 100 insights every day. You don't need 50 guys checking on you with accountability. You don't need 50 programs keeping you away from addiction. If you can just get connected with him every single day and let that love continue to work within you, you walk into the world with a boldness. See, some of us is like this. We treat God, it's like literally like a long distance relationship. If you had a relationship, but you haven't been with them in 6 months, and you find yourself in some hotel lobby one night traveling on business, and some man or woman walks up to you with some nice cologne, and they start filling the void of that conversation you're missing. You haven't connected, you haven't talked, it's just text, quick FaceTimes here and there. How much more likely is the temptation to take hold? But if your relationship with God is not like a long-distance relationship, it's a kiss goodbye at the door and a hello right when you get back home and a hangout that night and a long conversation, and I can't wait to go on a walk with you this weekend at the beach, and I can't wait to hear your heart, and I can't wait to hear your heart, and I can't wait, Oh man, I can't wait to buy you a gift, and I can't wait to show my extravagance, and I can't wait to have time with you. When that weird guy comes up to the with you with the cologne on, the weird lady with the perfume, all of a sudden, it's not even a temptation, it's just weird. Yeah. It's like being out in public with your spouse or being out in public with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and someone walks up and tries hitting on one of you. You're like, whoa. Yo, homie, you need counseling. You got a demon. Get the heck away from me. We'll let someone else evangelize you, buddy, but not me. Do you see how goofy this is? Yeah. I'm using just really human examples to help to seed this into your mind. Yeah. Because I want you to walk in confidence when you walk in daily connection. Woo!
Come on. Ooh, that's a word.
Oh, man. I'm afraid of the CBD store. I have to drive by American Shaman every day to work. Listen, every single one of the guys I mentor that have had that problem, number one thing that goes right away when they go back to that, they stop reading their Bible. They stop praying every day. They stop worshiping. They stop connected. Now, here's the thing. If your love right now is an immature love, meaning it lacks history, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. The beginning of a relationship is a vulnerable time.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to go too long without sending a text or giving a call. Right? You're working to establish a rhythm of connection. And so here's the thing. The number one priority for you is connection every day. Yeah. Don't skip departure day. The plane ride. Connection. Yeah. Don't skip. The first thing you do when you get off the plane is, where am I and how am I going to connect with God? Where do I need to be connecting with God? You should prefer that over sleep, over friends, over hangouts, over anything. And you cannot live off of a corporate encounter. You need a personal encounter. Right? Group hangouts with God is not the same as you talking one-on-one. I'm living off the group hangout. So good, man. Jesus is so funny. He's so funny. We got like 2 minutes of a powwow there at the corner of the room hanging out with him. It was amazing. It was so good. No, that won't sustain you enough. The prayer room may sustain you if you're not living off of the experience of the room, but genuinely connecting with him. See, because it's not about forms. It's not about devotional. It's not a worship song, not an anointed song coming on. It's about you connecting with his heart and pressing it until you find that connection. When you, men, I hope one day that you meet a woman of God that you know is so far more godly than you, that you just go, I almost have to lie to get a chance. Like you studied the word and you said yes in faith because that night you were going to start studying the word. Like I hope that's your heart. Like yes and amen. Like this is, yeah, I want to shoot my shot the best I possibly can with the most godly woman that I possibly can find on the earth. Women, I hope that you are aspiring to find a godly man and don't settle for some passive man. Who you are leading with, who you're discipling and leading. There's brave love, but then that's just dumb love. Get away from that. That's just true. I'm sorry. Save somebody here. You're always calling them, when are you taking me out? No, you should be calling them and saying, we're never going out. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. I talked to a guy the other day. I'm just getting someone by chest because this disturbed me. I was like, when's the last time you took her on a date? And I was talking to the girl. I said, when's the last time you took her on a date? She's like, 2 weeks ago. I go, what was the last date last week? And I initiated it. I was like, oh my goodness. Anyway, that's just sad. That's sad, to me at least. Maybe you like that. But here's the deal. When you're on that first date and you want it to go so well, you don't just go in there and go, we're going to do a 1-hour date. I'm going to get a 30-minute date in. Wow. I read the principal book, How to Have a Great Date. I recommend 30 minutes of in-depth conversation. No, you are pressing in until there's a moment of connection. See, why do we make God a formula and a rule book and a discipline book when it's a relationship and you have to pay the price for connection, which is time? Which is time. He wants your time and He's worthy of your time. And you know, sometimes He will make you wait. He will make you sit there because He's not just an average friend. You don't find Him on getachristianbuddy.com. Findamentor.com. He's the God of the universe. Put it into perspective. Do you think it's worth waiting to have 5-minute conversation with the God of the universe? How long would you wait in the line if I said guaranteed 5 minutes with God, whatever you want to say to Him? How long would you wait? How long would you wait? But then why won't you wait tomorrow? He's right there. He wants to talk with you. But He's more like our grandma trying to get a hold of us. Sending us a text like, hey, call me back when you have time. And you're stuck in an immature love and you're wondering why you have fear for your future. It's because you have not been sealed in love. You have not given yourself fully over to love. And if you would just make that decision, go, I'm fully yours, whatever the cost is. I'm giving up my calling. I'm giving up my future. I'm giving up becoming Mr. Somebody. I'm giving up my job path. I'm giving up my worry about my finances. Like literally, you need to give up your worry about your finances. You got to pay your bills, get your job. But dude, put connection above all your future investment plans of rich dad, poor dad for 15 minutes for 10 years and get an establishment rooted in that love. Are you tracking with me? Okay, I want to look at three principles of religion really quickly. Can we do that? Yes. Number one, a religious principle. A religious principle, even God ordained, becomes merely a powerless form when it is divorced from the state of our heart towards God. A religious principle, even God ordained, becomes merely a powerless form when it is divorced from the state of our heart towards God. Have you ever had a conversation and the other person says you weren't listening? Wow. Mean that worship is great. Prayer is great. This is great. But if your heart is not engaged right now, you're not doing something spiritual. If you're in worship and singing karaoke, God is moved by the weak love of your heart. But the connection is established when you give Him your heart in worship, even if it's by faith and there's no feelings.
Wow, that's a word.
Right? It's not that just saying prayers aren't incantations. It's not Harry Potter, where you just say things out loud and things happen. What He's looking for is conversation, where there's a faith in your heart that He is hearing you and that He is going to answer.
Amen.
Right? Anything can become religious if we just give into the forms. Your Bible reading can become religious. Your journaling can become religious. Even your favorite worship song can become religious. And the number one thing in your heart that you need to know is there is it wants to make everything into a form and it doesn't want to do the hard work of connection. How many of you ever heard someone say marriage is hard work? What are they always saying? I'll demystify that right now for you. What they're saying is you have to be continually intentional with great time and effort to establish connection. That's all that means. Not because it's hard to live with a woman. I love living with Emily. It's so amazing. But what it means is that there's a new thing in my life where I'm not just thinking about myself. I'm thinking how to serve her, spend time with her to establish continual growing connection. God is not after a discipline plan for you. He is after a connection plan for you. You are dealing with a relationship. And you have to go from this place with a plan to seek and strengthen that relationship.
Yeah.
Are you tracking with me?
No.
I don't want to go too further much into that. There's so much more in this chapter. Number two, I could go through all these verses, but we're skipping through for some time. If you want the chapter, it's in Freedom 2. You can buy it at salvationencounter.com. Principle number two, we operate in religious forms when we place more confidence or find more comfort in a formula than we do the person of Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit. See, what happens sometimes is all of a sudden we gain more confidence in the things we do for Christ than we do in Christ Himself. And all of a sudden our Christianity becomes superstitious and weird. Superstitious and weird. For example, if you believe right now that we need to pray to get the Holy Spirit to come in here, you're deceived. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells within you. I don't need to say, I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Now, I know the poetic truth of that song, and I love singing that song, because what we're praying is, Holy Spirit, make your presence, make us aware to your presence, what you're saying. But don't take your awareness of His presence and be confused that His presence is not there. See, there is a moment where I wake up with joy. I don't need my quiet time to be close to God. I wake up close to God. I wake up close to God. I cannot read my, this is so religious, this is going to blow someone's mind, but I'm going to say it. I cannot read my Bible for a year. I have so much faith in my closeness to God and just meditate on what I already know and probably outrun all of you in believing how intimate I am with God. And it's not through brainwashing. It's because of how much I know Him, because it's a relationship. It's a relationship. The proof of my forms. The proof of my forms, not the proof of the relationship. The proof of the fruit of my life is the proof of our relationship. See, God gives us these pathways to get to know Him, but the pathways aren't formulas. They're just walkways to get to know Him. Just like a date doesn't equal connection, but a date is a form where you can have connection. Are you trying? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Having dinner with your family doesn't make you a close family.
Right.
But having dinner with your family can make you more close than you ever could believe.
Yeah.
It's what you do in those forms. It's where your heart is, not in the forms themselves. Some of you literally believe this. You believe you are far from God when you mess up on your quiet time. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I'm telling you, it's a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit. He is so close. He has bought you with a price, and you think you offended the God of the universe because you missed 5 days of a quiet time? You don't think He's sitting inside of you in your house, can't wait for you to wake up, wooing your heart, pursuing you?
Come on.
He went through all that to just be offended by one chapter you missed in your devotional? Are you kidding me? That's a religious spirit. And the reason I'm preaching on the religious spirit is the religious spirit wants to make everything into a performance about God instead of a relationship.
Wow.
That's some video game to fulfill the levels, and if you don't, God is angry and He's going to punish you and He's going to let bad things happen to you. Some of you literally believe bad things happen to you because you missed your quiet time. Knock it off. Has nothing to do with that. I got a ticket from the police officer. It's because. No, it's because you sped. And on a real note, I sat with people who believe that their family got a disease. They believe that they got a disease. They believe that they got sick. They believe that something bad happened to them. They believe that their life is because God is punishing them because He's angry over the lack of their performance in the relationship. It's a religious spirit.
Amen.
Do not let the religious spirit make your love a performance. Can you imagine living in a house the rest of your life and living in a day-to-day performance to earn the love of your spouse and your family? You will be exhausted. Do you know why some of you are exhausted and hate your quiet time and hate going to church? Is because it's a performance and you're tired and you don't want to be in trouble.
Yes. Come on.
Bible time equals beat down. Worship service equals what I'm not doing.
Yeah. So true.
It's like that angry family member who the first line on the phone is, it's been a while. It's been a while. It's been a while. When God is sitting right there going, oh, you have no idea how much I love to hear the sound of your voice. Wow. Oh, we got, you know, I'm so sorry. It's been 2 weeks. Hey, we're together right now.
Come on.
See, because when you begin to understand that love, you want to go back to that love. See, that's why I'm not afraid that love won't lead you to discipline. Only love can lead you to discipline.
Yeah.
You think willpower is going to get you to the end through the end times? It's not. Love will. Love will. Love will. Do you know why you're going to go to church that you don't always enjoy? Because you love God's people and you love God and you love His love. Do you know why you'll go back and make time when you're stressed out to be in the Word? Because you love Him and because you know how much He loves you. See, you got to kick that religious spirit that's making everything in your life a performance. We're retiring tonight, performance Christianity. Don't you dare. No, seriously, don't you dare go back home and make revival a performance. Don't you go back home and turn evangelism right away into a performance chart of how God feels about you. Religion does not fuel kingdom transformation. Love does. I have never led someone to Christ when I was not in joy.
Whoa.
You have time to become everything God is calling you to do. You have time. But what you need to do, though, is go be with Him. Because Jesus was seeking God. Even though He was God in the temple, unfolding, worshiping from a young age, and lived hidden till the age of 30, and changed the world in 3 years. You don't need a high impact to-do list filled life to change the world. You need concentrated, spirit-filled obedience in God's timing, in God's way, if you're going to change the world. But you need to be with Him so that you even hear when it's time. See, why people blow up in ministry is because it's their time, but they didn't invest in the oil. It's like the married couple who just took too much on, but their love wasn't ready for it. Slow down and build that love. Build that love. Seriously, quit thinking about becoming the greatest preacher in the world. No, seriously, stop thinking about how you're going to dominate everything and bring revival. Yeah. Think about how can I move God's heart today?
Yeah.
How can I move your heart, Lord? How can I sit before you and just do something that just blows your mind? How can I just get a greater revelation of your love?
Amen.
What do I got to do today? If you make that, everything else will fall into place.
Amen.
Because you can't spend time with God and at some point He changes the conversation. You're going to go, hey, man, this love encounter thing is awesome, isn't it? But you're secure now. And so I need you to actually now lay your life down and give it away for the next 40 years to tons of people like I've given it to you.
Yes, God.
And I need you to come back every morning, because if you don't get it, the fresh bread every day, you're not going to have enough for how much I'm going to ask of you every single day. See, if you're worried about your purpose, quit worrying about your purpose. Get with God.
Yeah.
If you're worried about your future, get with God.
Yeah.
If you're worried about your career, get with God. If you're worried about getting married one day, get with God.
Yeah.
Everything resides in that love relationship with God. Can I keep going?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this helpful for you?
Yes.
Principle number three, when we seek a formula or a quick solution in order to advance the kingdom, rather than the road of genuine repentance and humble obedience, we are operating in a religious form. I'm going to read this story. It's so intense. A man named, this is Acts 8, 9 through 13, and then 18 through 23. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, claiming to be someone great. The Samaritan people, from the least to the greatest, often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. He was a very influential because of the magic he performed. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God. Philip was an evangelist in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he began following Philip wherever he went. And he was amazed by the great miracles and signs Philip performed. When Simon saw the Holy Spirit was given, when the apostles placed their hands upon people's heads, he offered money to buy the power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money perish with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right before God. Turn from your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts, for I can see that you are full of bitterness and held captive by sin." Wow. Wow. Now we go, I'm not a wizard. I'm not trying to buy power to become powerful. But what we are trying to do so many times is find a shortcut. And that's what Simon was really after. He wanted a shortcut to the power of God. He wanted a shortcut to encounter. He wanted a shortcut to their presence. There is no shortcut. Amen. It is work. It is consistency. Yeah. It is connection. Wow. See, religion wants a shortcut. Religion is like the 30 days and you'll be connected and anointed minister of God. You could come to a service thinking they're going to lay hands on you and all of a sudden everything's going to change. That's why we love the first three R's and we hate the fourth R. I love to repent and I love to receive. And I love to rebuke, but I won't replace. I won't replace. I want, Lord, I rebuked it 100 times. I went to the front. They laid hands on me. I knocked out. Dude, that knockout power can change everything inside of you, but that knockout power is also show how powerful God is in your life so that you get up and you make a decision then to walk in that power and change your life. I love what T.E. Jake said, that right, God is not going to give you a chair, but he did give you trees. And so you have to grab your axe and go over there and chop those trees down to make a chair. You have everything you need right now to have everything you want in God, but you have to walk over to that tree and chop it down. There is no shortcuts. There is no shortcuts. I remember going to a... African, he was a Ghanaian evangelist when I was in high school. And his name is Emmanuel Ziga. And I went to his meeting, he was hosting a guest speaker. I think his name was Steve, but he would work in remote villages. He was a Ghanaian man, he worked in remote villages in Ghana and was a healing evangelist. And he saw tremendous, powerful healings. He showed a picture of a man who had a giant, elephantitis boil on his neck. So just imagine a boil coming out of your neck, skin out to here. And he physically healed this man. So this man is walking in great power. I was so excited. I thought that if this man laid hands on me, I was going to get the anointing of an evangelist like Reinhard Bonnke, like Billy Graham. And I was going to go to my high school and it was going to change everything. That this fear, it would leave me. I remember going to this meeting. It was a crazy meeting. Dude, when you want God, you do crazy things. No, seriously, when you're hungry for God, you'll go anywhere. Yeah. And here I am, little high school student, sitting in this room with the most hyper-Pentecostals you can imagine. There was no like upper room playing. There was no IHOP playing. There's no worship music playing. There's no lo-fi beats playing when you come into their service. It was literally a guy on that side of the stage, two guys on that side of the stage, and they were praying in tongues with no music, four guys in machine gun tongues as the waiting for the worship to start. It's like, you don't even know what's happening. Why are they saying, and you're just going, this is crazy. And I remember sitting there going, it doesn't matter. I want the anointing. And I knew they were going to pray for people at the end of the service. Worship was amazing. I don't remember any of it, but I'm sure it was awesome. And then we get to the sermon. And if you've never heard an African preacher, Clocks are not always a reality there. And they just go until they feel the breakthrough's done. Hey, I love it. Why not? And he preached for 2.5 hours on travailing prayer. And he had a lazy eye. I'll never forget it. And he saw out of the lazy eye. So it wasn't a blind eye, just a lazy eye. And he would pace back and forth. And on his big points, he would stop and he would do this with his lazy eye. Dramatic pauses to the whole entire crowd. It was unbelievable. It was crazy. But I said, I don't care. The power of God is on this guy's life. It doesn't matter. I want what he has. It comes to the end of the service. They have everybody line up. They have everybody line up. And they go, we're going to pray the anointing of God on your life. And he had this like assistant with a little bucket of oil. And I was like, man, they got special anointing oil. I'm going to get it tonight. Everything is about to change. Everything is about to change. The anointing, I'm seeing guys getting knocked out. I think it's kind of fake, but I'm like, hey, you know, it's by faith. I mean, I guess I'll go down if it's God. You know, I don't know what all this stuff is. And they start going down the line, just swath his hand this oil and just bam on the head. So hard. No like tender touch, no like hands out, just bam. One of the guys, I was positive that the guy behind him put his foot out and that the hand just came down and he just went down. And they kept saying, bring him up and smashing him back down. But I didn't care. I wanted the anointing. I didn't give a rip. This guy saw crazy boils disappearing. This guy was seeing tons of people come to Christ. I don't give a rip about the guy who's holding guys behind him. I want the evangelist anointing. So I'm sitting there. Finally, he makes his way to me. Now, everybody has either been knocked out for real or also potentially knocked out with help. I got to be honest with what I saw. There was some mixture going on. He comes to me, and there's not like a specific altar call. He's just prophesying. He dips his hand and he slams it on my head. And he goes, evangelist. So I'm like, whoo! I came to the right place. This guy does not know me for sure. Right? He just got off a plane fresh from Africa. We don't know each other. There's no way my dad could have gotten him information. This guy is just ministering to me, evangelist. Now he was unsatisfied because I didn't move. I just was like, so he points at the guy. There's this thing, this motion to him. And they call him armor bearers in the Pentecostal. It's just an assistant. That's all it is. There is no armor. I guess because they carry the Bible is why they're armor bearer. I'll carry my own sword, man. Back away. I don't want to get ambushed. All right, so I remember he runs over to the side of the stage, and he pulls out this huge thing of olive oil from Costco. Number one, I was so disappointed. I really thought it was special oil. But I didn't care. I was hungry for God. He already gave me a true prophetic word. I wanted it. So he pulled it, poured it in the bowl, runs over to me, takes the bowl, and goes full anointing over me. Pours the whole thing on my head. I mean, it is dripping down my face, on my clothes, everywhere. And he prophesies all these evangelistic words about my future. I was so happy. Because I knew my Bible, and I was like, this is what happened to David. They had the full dip going on. Everyone else got a little swath. But I got the full bowl. Man, God must be saying something. So that night, I remember, I'm back in my room. And I'm literally having like revival imagination time. I don't know if you ever had this. And I'm laying in my bed thinking about my high school campus the next day. And I go, I know what I'm going to do. At lunchtime, I'm going to stand on the table with my new anointing. Because I'm not going to have fear anymore. I'm going to just be Billy. I'm going to be Reinhard Bonnke. I'm ready to go now. The prophet said it. The oil said it. The tongue guys were tonguing it. I mean, it was, we're in. This is it. I remember literally practicing the first line I was going to say. I was going to yell, repent, as my first thing. Yeah. I was going real biblical on it. Real biblical. I don't you love that? I was imagining I was going to say, repent, and everyone's going to start weeping all across the room. This is literally my dream. You know, this is kind of what I'm imagining. Wow. Next morning, I get up. I get in my car. I start driving down. I have this old Mitsubishi car. I'm just driving to campus. I'm blaring like old school Hillsong. Yeah. You know, I'm stoked, dude. Lead me to the cross. Take it all, whatever it is. Take it all, right? I'm just like, I am Joel Houston this morning. I am Reinhard Bonnke. And I remember parking in the parking lot. I was so excited. And I start walking in to the school with my earphones on, my little MP3, and this horrible feeling. I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. I feel the same nervousness. Whoa, 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 whoa. I feel the same fear. Whoa, 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 whoa. I just got the anointing. I still have oil in my hair from last night. My skin is glowing still from the bath of olive oil I had last night. This cannot be the reality. This cannot be the reality. I did not preach the gospel that day. I went home feeling like a complete failure. And I remember sitting in my room going, what went wrong? But here's what I realized. Here's what I realized. Is that Christianity isn't magic. It's a relationship. Fueled with supernatural power. When he calls Joshua to take the promised land, he doesn't snap his finger like Thanos and all the enemies disappear. Right. He makes them go into the promised land and physically go to a real war for decades to win the promised land. See, what he was saying, when I prophesy, I'm going to give you the promised land. What he was saying was, I'm guaranteeing you victory if you step out. See, what God was saying to me is, you are an evangelist and you will have victory as an evangelist. But I'm not going to skip all the steps for you of how do you overcome fear. You're going to have to walk with me in intimacy. And from the place of intimacy, grow in boldness until you become everything I promised that you would become. Because if you just receive a breakthrough like a Thanos snap right now, which some people, God does bring an instantaneous breakthrough, you have a testimony for sure. But you don't know how to lead someone out. And it's hard to make disciples if everything happened in a one moment in your life. You better believe that God may take out a giant or two, but he's going to leave so many giants in your land that he's going to force you to face, to force you to take down, so that you can turn and say, hey, this is how you do it. That's called discipleship. But the fuel for all of that is intimacy. There's no shortcuts in the kingdom. Todd White walks in healing power, but he first prayed for 1,000 people who didn't get healed. True story. And then the first person got healed as he was a guard at a parking lot, letting people, taking their tickets and pushing the gate up. Working blue collar jobs. This is Todd's story. John Wimber, I believe, same story. Praying for thousands of people. Boom. The prophetic gift I operate in, it wasn't just a moment. For certain it turned on. But I prayed for probably over 10,000 people by now. I've sharpened the gift. I've walked in the gift. Yeah. See, the truth is this, is you got to go before the Lord and in that connection, grow in love with him And from that place, it will overspill into your skill set. It will spill into your evangelism. It will spill into your ministry. It will spill into all these things. That's why I'm not so concerned, truthfully, about you thinking you're a leader. I want you to know that that's what you're becoming and that that's what you're growing in. But my biggest thing I want you to leave here is with connection. Yeah. Is with connection. Ken, I'm going to end here in just a few moments, and we're going to pray tonight. So here's some forms that we want to get rid of tonight, some religious forms that we want to get rid of. And we don't want to let, whether this is in your life or this is a spirit that wants to tempt you when you go back, we're going to say no to these forms. Are you ready for this? Number one is the natural man. This person wears magnifying glasses that enlarge everyone else's faults. The natural man will not look at the heart of others and see people as God does. Life is evaluated through the experience of the five senses. God is willing to restore hopeless and defeated people, but the natural man looks at such people and says that nothing can be done. The natural man cannot testify to their own radical transformation because the need for it is not perceived. And as a result, there is no hope for the radical transformation of others. The first thing that a religious spirit is going to try to do is deceive you that this is an extreme moment, that transformation didn't really happen, that this was all hype, and you got to suffer. No. We believe in a God of miracles. We believe in a God. There is nothing about Christianity that is not supernatural. There is not, dude, our whole faith hangs on the God of the universe rising physically from the dead. And you think that God can't turn anybody's story around? Dude, you have thousands of years of church history to show you that every man that's looking in the natural is wrong. And you can stand firmly on the testimony of Scripture with a ridiculous hope that no one is too far gone, and certainly not yourself.
Yeah, come on.
You don't think that God can eventually turn your family around? You don't think that God can't win every single one of your friends to Christ? You don't think God can show up at the most incredible moment that you can imagine and speak to you and give you clarity about your future? You're wrong. He can. The first thing that religion wants to do is steal your hope and turn you just into a natural man. Because a man without hope, a woman without hope, is not a dangerous person. It's when we have hope, we become dangerous to the enemy. Because that's what starts stirring in your spirit when you look at your campus. You go, there's hope here. When you start looking at our generation, you go, there's hope here. You start looking at your situation, you go, there's hope here. I start looking at my country, there's hope here. Don't let that religious spirit steal your hope. Don't let that religious spirit steal your hope. I don't care if your pastor's been pastoring for 50 years, if he's jaded and lost his hope. Don't trade in your hope to that religious spirit. Not him, but there's a spirit. And at some point, through the door of pain, maybe that spirit took his hope. And maybe you got to stand firm in hope and say, Pastor, I know what you've experienced, but this is different. We're casting our nets on the other side. Hope. Number two, can we keep going? The anemic man. We don't want to be a natural man. We don't want to be an anemic man or woman. This person lives in the false reality that they are a victim of circumstances. He or she believes that they are weak and is overwhelmingly trapped by strongholds. They agree with the spiritual truth and have an understanding of it, but there is little real life application. This person is trapped in excuses and rationalism that supports self-defense. I cannot be different because I've been dealt all these terrible circumstances. Right now, I want to tell you, I don't care how bad your story is or how bad it currently is. You are not defined by your circumstances. You are not a victim to your circumstances. You have the living God living inside of you. And as soon as you believe that your life is a result of your circumstances, you've lost. The religious spirit has taken away the power of your Christianity.
Wow.
As soon as you believe that you can't connect with God because your city's dark. Man, I hate those stories. I walked into my neighborhood and I felt darkness. You got deceived, dude. You got deceived, dude. I don't remember darkness being a match for light. Like, I never turned the lights on. Like, it struggled to get light in the room. Like, oh, this is a real battle. This is a real battle. Hopefully I can read tonight. Turn the lamp on. Oh, wow. Darkness won. I guess I'll just go to bed. The Lord can meet you in every circumstance. The Lord can meet you while you're vacuuming. The Lord can meet you while you're doing the dishes. The Lord can meet you While you're folding the clothes and doing the laundry and washing the car, the Lord can meet you at the grocery store. The Lord can meet you in the lobby, meet you in the bathroom, meet you in the shower. He can meet you wherever, whenever. All he needs is your attention.
Come on.
All he needs is your heart. All he needs is the conversation. All he needs is your ear open. Don't become a victim of your circumstances. Some of you need to vow, I am not a victim. God wants to change the situation. If you are stuck in mortal poverty, can I tell you right now, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. His promise is provision. He wants to provide for you. I'm not saying he's going to give you a Mercedes. I'm telling you, he's going to provide for you. What do you need to do to be provided? Get your hope back. God is in control. Follow him. Yes, there's giants, but run at them with everything you have. Because he's guaranteed you victory.
Yeah.
Number three, the professional repenter. This person is a master of false repentance and can repent of anything at the drop of a hat. But there is no fruit of repentance after the prayer time. In other words, there is no perceivable change. Some examples might be passivity, social fears, including insecurity and struggles with body image, pride, and anger. Don't be addicted to just spiritual prayers and sounding spiritual. Be addicted to action. The religious spirit makes everything ethereal. But true spirituality is always very practical. Ooh. There's a principality in the region. Ooh. No. Yes, but no. It's not visiting you. It's visiting the pastor bringing unity to the whole city. You just have a run-of-the-mill demon in your house that's so tiny it's like an ant. It's called passivity. Which passivity is just weak love. That's what it is, just so you know. And all you got to do is get up out of your bed and leave your house and go somewhere and talk to God. Quit repenting about it. Do something about it. Some of you have made so many plans. Quit making plans. Just do something. Do something that you've never done before. Do something crazy. Get in your car and just go, I'm going to drive to the wilderness and just walk around the forest until I meet with God. Dude, God will be moved by that. Don't do something stupid or dangerous, but do something different than what you've been doing. Get rid of the Xbox.
Yes.
Get rid of the PlayStation. Cancel the Netflix account. Get rid of Discovery Plus. Take a giant hammer and go outside and smash your TV and say, I declare war on entertainment and distraction. Do something different. Some of us are so dulled in distraction. We have no appetite for godly things. We just like our digging little sugar candies. So we want to go to church and the pastor give us little sugar candy Wonderliners. But then we want to go home and be entertained all night with our phone. Dude, I'm serious, dude. Fast from all these things until your heart becomes tender and you become connected. Don't go to the altar again and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've lusted again. I'm a lustful freak. I'm a pervert, Lord, please. I'm not worthy of your kingdom. I hate myself. Amazing prayer. Amazing prayer. When the pastor goes, let me have your phone. Oh, wait, pastor. Religion. Do me a favor. When your friend comes up to you and says, hey, you interrupt me every single time I talk. How about, I'm working on it. I'll get better. Why don't you go, you know what? That's totally inappropriate. I can see that hurt your feelings. I'll never do it again. And if I do, bring it up because I want to change immediately. Do you want to have an amazing relationship in your future? Learn that sentence. I will change immediately. 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 Right? Because doesn't it get old, the professional repentance from your friend? Like, hey man, you yelled at me again. You know? Some father wounds God has been exposing. And the Lord led me to a deep place this morning. I have uncle wounds too. Grandpa wounds, great-grandpa wounds, and the Lord discerned there's a Baal spirit chasing me in my neighborhood. So it's like, no, stop it, Leviathan. Stop it, change immediately, immediately. Everyone say immediately. You can decide tomorrow to have the best relationship with God the rest of your life. Can I do one more? This is all from my dad right here. So good, isn't it? It just hurts, but it hurts so good. The last and final form of religion. There's so many forms of religion. We're just making fun of religion tonight so we don't become weirdos. I want to say something so bad. I can't. Number four, the mannequin man. Oh my word. All right, the mannequin man, here we go. No, it's, trust me, I'll say it in a different way in a moment. I'm just saving the point. Don't you buckle up. You're not going to be hurting here in a moment. All right, here we go. Number four, the mannequin man. This person desires to conform to the ultimate Christian role model. They cultivate an ideal based on someone besides Jesus himself. Quote, I want to be Billy Graham. I want to be Amy Carmichael. I want to be my pastor. Whomever it is that they are emulating, ultimately they have taken their eyes off Jesus. This person wants to conform to what their eyes see, but they have no idea about the real cost of heart transformation. Here are some clues that this is you. I feel that my current role in the church is insignificant, and I want to have a position that is more visible and therefore more significant. If visible equals significance, religion. My growth is fueled more by the teaching, example, or writing of others rather than me reading my Bible. I strain to achieve transformation rather than trusting the Lord and often feel frustrated when I fall short. I live in the tension of always being behind where I would like to be. I am threatened by those who are gifted similar to me. There only seems to be room for one in the place that I desire to be. Whether that be in a certain position or in a relationship with someone in a certain position. I always put my best foot forward. I am afraid of others knowing my failures. See, there can be so many fake forms of Christianity, of religion, that steal away the connection. How many of us have done this? We have come to church, the place where we've become for vulnerability, to get fixed up, to walk in community, but we come in proving that we're going to be the next somebody, hoping that somebody sees us and makes us the next somebody. See, what I'm begging for you is if you sacrifice your reputation, If you sacrifice your future, if you sacrifice your wants and desires and prioritize your love and connection with Jesus Christ above all things, everything else will be added to you and your life will be unbelievable. That is the Christian message right there. And tonight we're going to be sealed in His love. We are going to have a transaction of prayer with the Lord, and we are going to leave in faith that He believes that and that He's going to supply a grace to do that. We're not leaving here trying to perform away not being religious. We're going to have a conversation of connection with the Lord. And because the favorite thing the Lord loves to do is to give you love for Himself. Right, you can have confidence whenever you're praying His will. You probably won't become the top influencer on TikTok. But if you ask God, help me love you more, He will Amazon Prime that answer so quick to your door. It is unbelievable. God is always, if you ask Him for more character, He'll give it to you. If you ask God, not for a greater calling, but more places to serve, He'll open doors. If you ask God for you want people to reach and to bring people into your path that need Jesus, He goes, perfect, I'll send them right over. See, when you pray according to His will, you can have confidence that He is going to answer you. And tonight as we pray, He is going to seal you by faith in that love. So here's what we're going to do. You can have the band come back up.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.